Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And as you know, there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions this evening will be taken from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still reveling in the book of study, which is the book of Psalms. It is so exciting to me because we know that this exposes us to what I consider the most beautiful verses that are written in our Bible. And it is also worthy of note that King David did not write all of the Psalms. He only wrote 73 of the 150 that are in our Bible. 12 were written by Asaph. 2 were written and ascribed to by Solomon. 1 was written by Moses. 1 was written by Ethan. And 12 others were written by the sons of Korah. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, if you will, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have what I consider a commercial break where you can take the time to ask questions or comment or inquire if you'd like. Our host has set up a chat room just for that particular purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to take this time personally, as I always do, to thank those of you who have given me feedback on this show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. Thank you so very much. And as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. The promise is the blessing, that if you are hungering for Jesus's righteousness and thirsting for his righteousness, you will be filled with just that which you seek. Jesus said again, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Again, this is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. And what we're saying is the promise is the blessing. And if you are merciful, you shall obtain mercy. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. My precious brothers and sisters, again, taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, the blessing is the promise. That is the goodwill that you will receive. The, I will say, gift for keeping your heart pure. That means loving, and you shall see God. And again, the question is for all of you that are listening out there, are you standing on these promises? Let's go to the study. And before we start the study, as I always do, let me give you this caveat. I want to give you an understanding that as we read the text of the Bible, you should be focused on, or at least realizing, that the Bible is written in code. That means mysteries, secrets, parables, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, and symbols. And the only way to break this code, my brothers and sisters, is through study and learning. And that's what we're all about. We are going to get to the study and start learning. All right, let us turn our Bible sources to Psalms 117, and we're going to be reading verse 2. Now, as I always remind us, that there are 150 Psalms that are in the Bible, and I've written 232 instructions, and we're on instruction number 163. So let's look at Psalms 117, verse 2. And before I read the verse, this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read it. God prays for his mercy and truth. My brothers and sisters, we know that the mercy of God endureth forever. We know from James' writing that mercy rejoiceth over judgment. Oh, my God, do we need that? And we also know from the prophet Isaiah that God said to the prophet that for a moment he has hid his face from us, but with great mercies will he gather us. In his wrath, he hid his face for a moment, but because of his mercy and loving kindness, he will save us. My brothers and sisters, this is what David said about that in Psalms 117, verse 2. He said, for his merciful kindness is a great reward toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. So of a truth, that is his promise, his mercy. And now let's turn to 1 Peter. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And this is how Peter writes it to those that he, the disciples of his. And this is what it is to us, comparing and agreeing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath gotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter tells us that Jesus Christ is God's mercy to us, my brothers and sisters. That is the grace, the free gift of grace. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually, that through the mercy of God and the grace of God and the glory of God, we get our salvation. That is the trifecta, if you will, my brothers and sisters, the triple crown, the mercy, grace, and glory of God. That's what I want you to get from this particular instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction 164, and we're going to turn back our look at Psalms 118, verse 1 and 4, Psalms 118, verse 1 and 4. And what we're going to do, I want you, before I read the scripture to you, I want to give you the instruction. The wise know that the mercy of God endureth forever. The wise, and I'm talking about the wise in God, not the wise in the world. So the wise in God know that the mercy of God endureth forever. And as I just mentioned to you, and I'm going to reiterate it again for you, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 54, and we're going to look at verse 7 and 8. And this is what Isaiah said. I already reiterate, this is a reiteration of what I gave in the first instruction, but I'm going to read it in its entirety. This is what Isaiah said. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord God, thy Redeemer. That is so critical to know, my brothers and sisters, that that mercy is for us. And now we're going to pause for a break, and then we'll resume the instruction. Okay, the instruction will continue until the break comes in. We're going to read Psalms 118, verse 1 through 4. Psalms 118, verse 1 through 4. This is what David tells Israel about the wisdom, the wise, and the mercy of God enduring forever. David says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. So you can see where David is reiterating the mercy of God enduring forever. He's trying to rehearse it to Israel. And he's putting a dominant factor on the fact that his mercy endureth forever. And now we're going to go to our New Testament text.
At a young age, we find ourselves searching for direction and purpose. While taking the time to observe the greats that have done this before us and modeling their footsteps to match our own. I have a fond memory of a leader like this. His name was Ralph Balducci, my 8th grade football coach. It was his first year coaching our team, but when he stepped on the field, you could see this passion and desire in his eyes. As the year went on, his belief in us grew stronger, and our own success started drawing our team closer together. Our belief in our shared values took us farther than just the game of football. Our friendship and trust in each other also grew stronger. It was all because of one man caring so much to inspire a young group of kids to achieve something great. Leadership is not a position awarded to an individual. It's the individual's desire to lay the foundation for others to follow and help them find the courage to do something that may otherwise seem impossible. We all need great leaders in our lives to help us through the hard times and inspire us to do great things. Because once we go through the experience of following great leadership, we find ourselves developing the leadership traits that will soon inspire the next group of individuals looking for direction and purpose. Become that next leader that uplifts others' motivation to develop the passion for opportunities yet to come.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we'll continue with instruction number 164. We were looking at the wise of God, or the wisdom of God. Those who are wise in God know that the mercy of God endures forever. We looked at Isaiah that actually prophesied that fact, and we saw how David rehearsed it to Israel in Psalms 118, verse 1 through 4. Now we're going to substantiate that. We're going to go to the New Testament, comparing and agreeing. And we're going to go to James chapter 3 and see how James teaches us today about that mercy that endures forever through the wisdom of God. And this is what James chapter 3, verse 13 says. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without hypocrisy and without partiality. David or James is telling us how that mercy of God endures forever, and the ingredients are the ingredients in it are those attributes I mentioned. Okay, now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that our wisdom of God, not the wisdom of man, my brothers and sisters, that our wisdom of God tells us, if nothing else, that our Creator is merciful towards us, wanting all mankind to be saved. That is so key to this instruction, that He wills that you and I and everyone else be saved. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go back to Psalms 118, and we're going to now look at verse 8 through 9 in Psalms 118, verse 8 through 9. And what I want you to do before I read the verse or the two verses is to focus in on this instruction. Trust in the Lord God. My brothers and sisters, trust in the Lord God. And you know what that word trust is synonymous with, faith. And of course, we're going to find out about what the Hebrew writer says about it, because that's our complementary connection. But of course, we know that trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what Solomon told us. Lean not to your own understanding, and He will direct your path. And we know again that David said in another psalm that you trust in the Lord and do good, and verily thou shalt be fed. It is imperable to trust in the Lord. And this is what Psalms 118, verse 8 and 9 says about that. This is what David is rehearsing to Israel. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Now, David is telling Israel that, look, you don't trust in man except through God. Do you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That's okay. You trust in man through God, but you trust in God first. That's putting the horse before the cart. That's the way the mechanism works better. We put the horse in front of the cart, and it carries the cart. You put the tractor in front of the trailer, it carries the trailer. You could put it behind, but it doesn't work well that way. And so this is what we're trying to identify. And, of course, let us go to our complementary text in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and we know what the Hebrew writer says about this trust. This is what he says: without faith or trust, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without that trust, we lose ground with God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters, that faith is a top priority with God, love being number one. And Paul says this about love: love works our faith. So if you want to increase your faith, you must work your love. My brothers and sisters, did you hear that? If you want to increase your faith in God, you must work your love of God. Amen. Okay, let's turn back to Psalms 118 again, and we're going to look at another couple of verses, Psalms 118, verse 10 through 12. And what I want you to do is focus on this instruction as I read the text to you. Now, the instruction is overcome in the name of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, that is so significant, to overcome in the name of the Lord. And what I want to do is go to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 2:22-23, just to give you some emphasis on overcoming in the name of the Lord. This is what the prophet says in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22 and 23. Before I even read the text, listen to this. I have sworn by my, this is what verse 22 says, look unto me, be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me, listen, my precious brothers and sisters, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every mouth shall swear. So that is telling us that we overcome because God is the only one that allows whatever it is to happen that's going to happen. And this is what David rehearsed to the Israelites in Psalms 118, verse 10 through 12 about that. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. So that is telling us, and you know what Paul taught in his letters. Paul says, whatever you do in thought, word, and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. That is so significant, my brothers and sisters. Now what we're going to do is go to Acts. Turn with me to the book of Acts. We're going to look at Acts chapter 4, and we're going to see what Peter said when he gave a mini sermon after the day of Pentecost to those who were listening to him in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 4, verse 10 and 12. This is what Peter said. Be it known unto all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is how you overcome, my brothers and sisters. Verse 12 completes the thought. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among man whereby we must be saved. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Overcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, it's time for a break, and after the break, we'll continue with the lesson.
It's an urge. Truth be told, every champion has felt it. Every president has felt it. Every king has felt it. Every lion has felt it. Every winner has felt it. Every soldier has felt it. Every victorious person has felt it. The urge to quit. Don't you give up on your dream. I don't care if you don't have the money, you don't have the help, and you don't have the family for it, and you don't have the background for it, and you don't have the friends for it, don't you give up on your dream. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. It may take you twice as long. You may have to take courses and classes. You might not read as fast. You might not move as quick. You might not have as much, but don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. As weak as you are, as tired as you are, as many mistakes as you made, you do make a difference. There is something they would lose if you were not there. There was something that they would miss if you were not there. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. Keep hopping. It's for people that are trying to hop their way back home. Come hell or high water, doing the best they can with what they got. That's who we are, doing the best we can with what we got. And we may not break any ribbons and we may not get any trophies, but if we can learn how to hang on in there, we'll be all right. I will not lie to you, I feel like going on. But I have seen days I did not want to get out of the bed, didn't want to put on clothes, and didn't even feel like brushing my teeth. I've seen days so dark that I just wanted to keep driving, and I didn't even care where I ended up or what you called me. They came and they passed. And they came to pass. I kept the faith. I kept it. I lost a lot of stuff. I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of strength. I lost a lot of courage. I lost a lot of time. I lost a lot of money. But I kept down on my knees. I was still believing. Broke, I was believing. Lonely, I was believing. Betrayed, I was. If you lose a job, keep the faith. If you lose a spouse, keep the faith. If you bury your child, keep the faith. If you have to downsize, keep the faith. If you have to move in with your mama, keep the faith. If you're at your wit's end, keep the faith. If you have to catch the bus, keep the faith. If you have to thumb, keep the faith. If you get sick, keep the faith. If you lose your kidneys, keep the faith. If you got heart trouble, keep the faith. You might not get a new heart, but you gotta keep your faith.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's complete the instruction 166 with the thought of overcoming in the name of the Lord God. We've already given in our complimentary text to compare and agree with what the Bible says about this. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually. That in the name of Jesus Christ, that in the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. My brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter, except if you don't do it this side of eternity. And what I'm saying is every knee shall bow, every mouth shall confess the name of Jesus. But if it doesn't happen this side of eternity, we know what the Bible says. And it's woe on you, the weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is critical. That's what I want you to get from out of this. You will overcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Let's go back to Psalms 118. We're going to look again at a few more verses. This psalm is full of verses that we can use for instructions. And this is the third one tonight. It is going to be Psalms 118, verse 14. Through 17, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. The Lord God is my strength and my salvation. My precious brothers and sisters, I am going to preface this with another one of the Psalms that David wrote earlier we reviewed, but it's so significant to this particular Psalm, and it's Psalms 27, verse 1 through 4. And this is depicting the strength and the salvation that we should show for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is what David was rehearsing to Israel at the time, and it was to Jehovah God. And he said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they will stumble and fall. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." My brothers and sisters, we just came off of the instruction of overcoming in the name of the Lord. This is adding to that impetus that you should overcome and you will receive your strength and salvation from the Lord God Almighty. Now, this is what David rehearsed to Israel in Psalms 118, verse 14 through 17 about it. This is what David said. "The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord do vigilantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord do vigilantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord." So you can see that David is emphasizing the fact that our strength and our salvation is in the Lord God Almighty. Now, let's go to the New Testament compliment. We're going to see how it compares and agrees with what Paul taught the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. This is what Paul said to them. Paul said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. There's your key, my brothers and sisters. You can be weak and you can be strong. You can be all of the negatives and positives that is confronting you and besetting you in this life's experience. But you should be able to do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens you. But you have to believe that, and then you have to appropriate it. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is our fullness in God, all three. That is so critical to know, my precious brothers and sisters, that you have so many Christians that do not have that are not born again. They are weakened in strength because of that. And you have so many other Christians that are born again, but do not have the indwelling. And that's where you get the fullness of your strength and salvation, through the three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Remembering that the Father without the Son is weakening or weak, and the Son without the Father is weak. You must have all three to receive full benefit. That is what I want you to get from this instruction. All right, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back again to Psalms 118, and we're going to get another instruction out of Psalms 118, verse 22 through 24. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text. The stone that the builders refused is now the head of the corner. You can remember when Jesus told Peter, upon this rock shall I build my church. That rock is that stone that we're talking about. And we know that there are several references still in the New Testament identifying us as followers of Jesus Christ as lively stones, not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. That stone is the stone that everyone else has refused, but has become the head of the corner. And this is what David rehearsed to Israel in Psalms 118, verse 22 to 24. The stone which the builder refused is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Now, of course, David was under inspiration, and he was talking about Jesus Christ. And you can see why it is marvelous in the eyes of everyone who is going to be confronted. Remember, we just said in our previous instruction that every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess. That's why it is so critical. Now let's go to our New Testament compliment. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and I see that we're looking at another break. So let's take a break, and then we'll come back for the study.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible says we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, a new mind. What I'm trying to tell you, beloved, is that you can have a new year, but it don't mean jack diddly if you don't have a new mind. I'm telling you that you can buy a new car, but if you put the old man in a new car, you're still going to have the old experience. I'm telling you that a new house doesn't make a new marriage. I'm talking about a new outfit doesn't make you a new person. And if you think that when the clock strikes 12, you are magically going to be a new person. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. You're just going to be an old person in a new year, because new life doesn't come by the ticking of a clock on a wall. A new life comes from a new mind and a new way of looking at your life. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying to you. Just leave people say, I got to change my mind. I can't go into 2014 with 2013's mentality. I cannot step into the future and still think in my past. I cannot let the rumors and the stain of what they said about me destroy my opportunity. For the life of me, I've been trying to explain to people that success doesn't feel successful. That accomplishment doesn't feel accomplished. That you can arrive at a new destination and it doesn't feel like you would think it would feel before you get there. And for the life of me, I can't explain to them how you can be blessed and other people can know that you're blessed better than you know that you're blessed. That you can be gifted and you yourself not realize that you are gifted. And people don't understand how you can be gifted and insecure, blessed and intimidated, gifted and still have to fight off your fear. I didn't understand how to make them understand.
I don't really like those words, self-help or self-management or self-improvement. I don't really like what those words have come to mean these days. Because there's a lot of people out there that are constantly trying to improve themselves by looking for the one change. The one change, right? The one change in their life that's going to make their dream come true. And even worse, on top of that, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of self-help gurus and these hyperactive motivational speakers and these other self-appointed modern Zen yoga warriors that they're trying to sell the one thing. They're trying to sell the nine steps or the enlightened path that's going to allow you to unlock all of your human potential and fulfill the dreams so you can live the life that you've always wanted to live. Now, I'm no guru, and I definitely don't claim to be. I'm just a man. But I will tell you this. It isn't one thing, and it isn't 10 things, and it isn't 100 things. It isn't a quick path, and there are no shortcuts. Meditation won't get you there, and neither will a miracle drug or an organic supplement or some superfood. Getting better isn't a hack or a trick or a one change that you need to make. Getting better is a campaign. It's a campaign. It's a daily, a weekly, it's an hourly fight.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to complete instruction number 168. The stone that the builders refused has become the head of the corner. And this is the compliment where Jesus is explaining that to those who are listening to him in Mark chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. This is what Jesus says. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And at the season, he sent to the husbandmen a servant that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him out empty. And to complete the thought is verse 6 through 11. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, Let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they killed him, and they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard to others. And have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So that is connecting the dot to what David prophesied in Psalms 118. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus is that stone, the foundation we must be built upon. And we know that Jesus again said that the stone is a stumbling block. To the Jews, it is the stumbling block. To the Gentiles, it is the lack of wisdom. And that's what I want you to get from this instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Psalms 119 this time. We're going to look at Psalms 119. We're going to go to verse 1 through 4. And what I want you to do is keep this in mind as I read the verses to you. This is the instruction. Blessings of God. Now, we know that the blessings of God are voluminous. But as the Bible instructs in certain areas, you want to focus on the particular attributes because these particular blessings are critical to our welfare and our salvation. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we know that God says, if you keep his commandments, my brothers and sisters, and what I'm saying is commandments include his laws, his statutes, his order, words, his grace. All of these elements are part of his ordinances. All of these are part of God's law that he is going to bless you, as Deuteronomy says, that you will be blessed. These blessings will overwhelm you. They will take control of you. It will become like a command that you receive these, that you will be fruitful in your body. You will be fruitful in the way that you live in the community, that you will become the head and not the tail. You will be above and not below. You will receive these particular blessings that are significant. And this is what David said in Psalms 119, verse 1 through 4, about these others. This is what David said. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Again, that the precepts are a part of the laws, the commandments, and the blessings that you will receive from them is good fortune, good welfare, gifts, advantage. Now let's go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to John. John chapter 4, John chapter 3, verse 16. And in this, Jesus is telling us the most significant blessing of them all, which is he himself. This is what John chapter 3, verse 16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the greatest blessing that we can receive is through the love of God. And that is his son, Jesus Christ. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Jesus Christ is the greatest blessing for us to receive, that through him we have both faith and the Holy Ghost. And that's how we gain our faithfulness and our repentance. We gain our peace. We gain our love. We gain that through Jesus, who told us that he would not leave us comfortless, that he would ask the Father to send us another comforter, the Holy Ghost, who would give us the gifts and fruits of God, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. He will give us faith, healing. And I mentioned the love, the joy, the peace, gentleness, goodness, all of the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. And that is the blessing that we should be focused on receiving right now, my brothers and sisters. That's what I want you to get from this instruction. Now, again, turn back with me. Let's go back to Psalms 119. And before we go into instruction number 170, we're going to take another break, the final break of the evening.
Faith is the currency of heaven. It's what it is to heaven, what money is to earth. It's what God uses to transact business. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. God said, I know you're not righteous, but if you believe me, I'll take the faith and give you righteousness that you did not earn. I'll impute righteousness unto you. I'll impart righteousness unto you. It's an exchange because you believe. He that believeth shall be saved. He that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed on the only begotten Son. So if I were Satan, if I set out to destroy you, if I set out to kill you, I wouldn't spend a lot of energy fighting your morality, fighting your mentality, fighting your anxiety. I would come against your faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. No matter how talented you are, if you don't believe him, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to work for God if you don't believe him. It's impossible to build a ministry if you don't believe. It's impossible to preach if you don't believe. If you don't believe God, you can't do business with God, because faith is the currency of heaven. It is the substance of the thing I hope for. It is the evidence of things I don't see. It's a currency. You get it? It's exchange, like money. I can't eat it. Money I can't sleep in it. Money I can't live under it. But I can give it in exchange for goods and substances, it's written on it. It's an exchange medium. Faith is an exchange medium. So if I was Satan and I wanted to bankrupt you, it wouldn't be enough to take your money. If I take your faith, I've left you bankrupt. If I take your faith, I've left you poverty stricken. If I take your faith, you got nothing to buy with. If I take faith, prayer don't have a leg to stand on. If I take faith, you can't have no peace. If I take faith, you can't have no joy. If I take faith, you can't have no victory. If I take faith, you don't have no power. If I take faith, you don't have no confidence. If I take faith, you don't have no boldness. If I have faith, you don't have no conviction. If I take your faith, you don't have no trust. If I take your faith, you don't have no comfort when you're grieving. If I take your faith, you're powerless, impotent, weak, incapable, irreconcilable difference. Your lack of faith insults God.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to instruction number 170, and we're looking at Psalms 119 again. We're going to just take one verse this time out of Psalms 119, and we're going to look at verse 9. And what we're going to do is keep in mind this particular instruction as I read the text to you. This is the instruction. This is how you cleanse your ways. My brothers and sisters, this is what David rehearsed to Israel on a way to be clean before God. This is what David said in Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. So David is telling us, or telling Israel, he's giving them the whole enchilada. He's saying that by keeping God's word, that's how you cleanse your ways. Now, previously, he gave particulars, and that's what I'm going to share with you before we go to the compliment. These are some particular ways that you can perform that will make you clean before God. And David prefaced this in Psalms 15 by saying, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Meaning, who shall be clean? This is what David says. He that walketh uprightly, and he that worketh righteousness, speaketh the truth in his heart. Those are three ways. Here are more. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reward or a reproach against his neighbor. David gives us six particular ways to be clean, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. He will be clean in his way. And that is so significant, my brothers and sisters. And now what we're going to do is go to the New Testament compliment. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And I'm going to read verse 6. Excuse me. In John chapter 14, verse 6. And this is what Jesus said. And this is how we attain our cleanliness, my brothers and sisters. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is how we cleanse our way to the Lord God Almighty, more especially today, on what Jesus has purported. Jesus has told us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added unto you. Jesus says, learn of me, for my way, I am meek and I'm humble and I'm lowly of spirit. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is telling us the way. Jesus says that if you come unto him, he told us that we should seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto us. Jesus told us, do not give thought or worry for tomorrow, for tomorrow will give thought and worry for itself. Sufficient are the evils of this day to overcome and conquer and be victorious over. Jesus told us, again, be ye perfect as the Father God Almighty is perfect. Jesus told us to seek. And Jesus has told us so much in his way, which is the truth and the life. And that is how we cleanse our way. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my brothers and sisters, that basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, is our guarantee to cleanliness. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth, that is our guarantee from Genesis through Revelations and all in between. We have and receive instructions on the way of Jesus Christ and the truth of Jesus Christ and the life of Jesus Christ. And that is what we should be applying. That's what I want you to understand from this instruction, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And to find out the particulars, go into the Gospels and the writings of the epistles. And don't forsake those books of the Old Testament that for sure references the Messiah, which we know is Jesus Christ. That's what I want you to understand from this instruction. Okay, now let's go back to instruction number 171. We're going to look at another instruction from Psalms 119, and I'm going to tell you that there are going to be many instructions taken from Psalms 119, because Psalms 119 has virtually 100 and so many verses within it. It actually has 168 verses, and within the confines of those verses are so many vital points to be made. And I've written, I don't know, maybe 20 instructions from them. Anyway, let's look at Psalms 119, verse 11. And before I read the verse to you, this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verse. A way to prevent sinning. My brothers and sisters, sinning is the only devastation to our life. Remember in the garden when God said to Adam and Eve, thou shalt not eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, that the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, their eyes were open and they knew that they were naked. That nakedness stands for sin. And Paul tells us about that in Romans chapter 7 when he said that sin was always in the world, but it was not revived until there was the breaking of the law. And that is what Adam and Eve did. They broke that first commandment that God gave on earth. Thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, now this is what Psalms 119, verse 11 says. David talking to Israel, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That is so key. And we should remember what we've received and heard, that we do not sin against God or continue sin against God without repentance. Jesus gave us that repentance. And before Jesus came, that repentance was not as we receive it today, meaning that there was a commandment that God gave Israel that moment that temporarily covered Israel. But today we have repentance through Jesus Christ, because sin is something that we continually are plagued with. Anyway, let us go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and we're going to read the complement to this. And this is what, again, I mentioned it in a previous instruction. Jesus, this is the complement to prevent you from sinning. Seeking ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is what we do. And if we continue to seek, we'll find. We continue to knock, it will be open unto us. We continue to ask, and we ask correctly, and it will be given to us. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually, my brothers and sisters. It should mean to us that we trust and obey the word of God. As it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded forth out of the mouth of God. So between the annals of Genesis and Deuteronomy, or Genesis and Revelations, we have what we need to not continue to sin. And now this concludes the lesson for this evening. And as we are about to sign off, the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement. Good night.
Thank you for choosing Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. We appreciate you joining us tonight. Please join us every week on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for basic instructions before leaving. I hope you were blessed by our programs.